is to be heard, but to hear what you might say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty? To be still and
I'd like to ask you this morning if you would open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 reads this way. It says, "Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your house. And Lord, having the privilege to ask you for the filling of the Holy Spirit as your children, that we might hear from you and that you might be honored and glorified and highly exalted. And we'll thank you for that. Lord, if there's one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, I pray that you would help them to see that need, open up their hearts and minds to receive your truth, and to come to know you as Savior. Bless again, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "For All Things Are Yours." All things are yours, specifically in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that this morning? All right. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about what God wants to do in our life, and he has a lot of wisdom to impart to us. And sometimes people think, well, wisdom is just something that's quaint, nice, and maybe even a wise saying. But wisdom, biblically speaking, according to the Word of God, is truth applied. It's one thing to know the truth of God's Word. It's a different thing to have it applied. The Pharisees, the religious rulers in the day of the Lord, knew the truths of God's word, but it was not applied or misapplied, and therefore when the Lord came on the scene, they crucified the Lamb of God, the Messiah of Israel. They did not recognize him. And so likewise, also in your life and mine, if we're not careful, we misunderstand the word of God,
and miss what God's trying to communicate or trying to do in our lives as His children. And so, you know, it's so easy to get our eyes on the wrong thing. I mentioned last week concerning, you know, if we're concerned about how we're going to stand, naturally speaking, we all look to ourselves and what we can do and what we can't do. Is that not true? And we move that over to the spiritual realm. You know, you think of persecution sometimes that's going on around the world, and a lot of people aren't even aware of that, right? Especially here in this nation. But there are people, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that are losing their lives for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not even maybe even on the same plane, and yet we wonder, how will I stand? Well, when we think that way, and we have a tendency to do that, I know when I do, I'm not looking to the Lord, I'm looking to myself, and we need to be careful not to do that. So God is wanting to do a work. He's wanting us to understand the truth of His Word. And by the way, as a believer, we have a special relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've been given the Holy Spirit to guide us into a personal experience as we allow the Lord to apply the truths that we hear in our lives to make the difference. But oftentimes, we find ourselves looking to great people of faith. Let's just look at it that way. We say, oh, look at the faith of Abraham or the faith of Job or the faith of Paul. Some time ago, a preacher who had been pastoring for many years served the Lord in a great way, and they eulogized him. And the preacher that was eulogizing him said, oh, listen, I don't know if we'll ever have another preacher like this man. Listen, you know, you and I are simply clay jars. That's all we are. We are clay jars. We're made of the earth. We are of the dust. We're going to return to it. What makes us different and powerful for the Lord Jesus Christ is God in us, the hope of glory. God can take anybody and make him great for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, God's plan is to take each and every one of us to make him great. We come with preconceived ideas of how that's going to take place or how God's going to work. Let me ask you this question. Do you remember your salvation? Let me try that again. Do you remember your salvation? Amen. Will you ever forget it? Were you thankful for the work that God begun in you the day you got saved? Were you thankful for that? God wants to give you more of that same thing. We get it, I think, misunderstood. Well, that means I'm going to have to do this, I'm going to have to do that. What did you have to do for your salvation? The answer is, in case you don't know, is nothing. God did it all. And that is the same thing that God is wanting to do in our lives. We do have, our natural realm has our natural way of thinking, our natural individual has a disconnect with the things that are spiritual. We don't really connect and understand. And again, I just want to point you back, and I know I've alluded to this at many different times. The apostles during the Lord's earthly ministry did not make that connection all the time. They were in and out of that connection. We are no different. We have in and out connections with the Lord and His Word. But I want you to know that the way God wants to work in our lives is this exact same way He did in the lives of the apostles, also in the lives of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection. Do you remember them? The Lord had been died. He died on the cross. He rose again. They were not aware of it, and they were on the road to Emmaus, and the Lord walks up on them. These are two disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ that knew the Lord. Walking, the Lord walks up with them, and he says, listen, what are you guys talking about that your countenance looked down and you look sad? And they said to him, don't you know? Are you a stranger? Have you not heard? And they began to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ, who they were talking to, and began to tell him about he died and how they thought it would be him that would be the Messiah. Well, he was, but he was right in their midst, and they didn't even see him until they constrained him to come into their house when they finally arrived there. And I do want to remind you, it was almost 6 miles that they walked, so it was a good distance. 6 miles will take you over an hour, won't it, walking? And so they walked for over an hour together, and then they tell him, come on in with us. He broke bread and vanished out of their sight, and they knew that it was the Lord. Now, here's the thing that I want you to understand. They said, did not our hearts burn within us while we walked, and he talked to us and opened up the scriptures unto us? And of course, the answer was, yeah, I felt the same thing you did. And they were so excited that they went back another almost 6 miles to tell the disciples the good news. They didn't have to even think about what they were going to do because God was all through that and they were excited to do it. Listen, God is wanting to excite your salvation and your relationship with him in a very similar fashion. He's not changed. He's the same. And with that said, I want to just give you a couple of thoughts here this morning. And that is, number one, laborers together. He says, for all things are yours. We are laborers together. Number two, the importance of building on the one foundation that will stand. There are many foundations, but there's only one foundation that will stand, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third thought is that ye are the temple of God because of the indwelling spirit that ye are indwelt with because of salvation. So let's consider this. Back up to verse 9 with me just for a little bit. And I want you to see what the Lord is saying to the Corinthian church, to the Apostle Paul, and to all of his churches, even to our church today, that we are laborers together. Verse 9 reads this way. It says, for we are laborers together with who? You can never do it without the Lord. You can't step out in front of God. You've got to be following the Lord. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's buildings. He likened us unto a crop, if you will. And then he also likened us unto a building that's being built. It doesn't just pop up. There's a foundation that's laid. Who is that foundation? Is it Jesus Christ? You mean to tell me it's not politics? You mean to tell me it's not the latest movie that's out there or the latest thing that the world has to offer? And by the way, that's the thing, if we're not careful, that will distract us away from the things that are eternal. And so he's wanting them to understand this, that we are laborers together with the Lord. Look at verse 10. According to the grace of God. According to the grace of God. Not our power, not our strength, but the grace of God that was freely given to us through salvation. And God wants to continue to use his grace throughout all of our lives. Notice this, which is given unto me, Paul speaking, as a wise master builder, because we can build, but we may not be building wisely. Right? We may not be doing it according to the word of God. So he says this, he says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So he's saying, I want you to know that the foundation's been laid. I've put some building to it, but others are going to build onto it. Make sure that you take heed how you build. Make sure that you're using the right materials. You don't want to use shoddy materials. You want to make sure that you're using the truth of the Word of God, not the wisdom of this world that will always try to get us to compromise the pure materials from the Word of God. We need to be careful that we don't fall into that. I'm reminded of a fellow who was a builder. And he worked with this contractor for many years, probably some 30 years or so. And finally, they were going to build their last home together. And he told them that. This contractor said, I'm retiring. We've made a lot of money together. You are a great asset to me and all of my work that I was doing. So we're going to build one more house together. And anyway, he said, I'm going to give you the liberty to build it however you want, and then we're going to be done, right? So it was a good-sized home. And he said, now I want you to build it just like you want to build it. And the builder began to think, this is our last, and he was younger than the contractor, and he was thinking, you know what, this is our last venture together, and then we're going to sell this house. And then he said, the value of the house, we're going to just split it right down the line. And anyway, he says, I better not use the expensive fixtures. I better start cutting back on the quality of materials so that I can make a bigger profit. And so he went through that whole house, And he put it together with the least quality materials that he could so that he could make a killing, he thought, at the end. And then time came where they were done building the house, and the contractor came to him with them to the house, and And he had the keys to the house, and they opened up the door, and they went looking throughout the whole house. And the contractor was asking him, is this exactly the way that you wanted it, right? He's the one that funded it all, and he said, exactly as you want it. And he says, yep, exactly as I want it. He said, wonderful, because here are the keys to the house. It's yours, my gift to you. And if we're not careful, listen, we'll be building the house that God wants us to build on this side using the things of the world and not the pure materials of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if we're not careful, we're listening to the things that are outside of the Word of God that may not be evil or wicked, but will not cause us to have the materials that God wants to build with. We were discussing this morning in the Sunday school class that when the Word of God works, it's because it's been studied, right? The Holy Spirit, we need to give, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So if we're not studying the Word of God, we're not giving the Holy Spirit anything to work. The Holy Spirit calls things to remembrance, does he not? Oh, I remember these things. But if you're not studying, there's nothing to call to remembering. And so God wants us to be careful that we take heed and that we're careful how we're building on this foundation that was laid at the very beginning. So we're laborers together with the Lord. We're not laborers by ourselves. In fact, God is the master builder, and he's building our lives. And all we need to do is say, Lord, I need you to guide me, or I'll mess it up. Isn't that the truth? Listen, I love the Lord, and I believe you do too, or you wouldn't be here. But even our love for the Lord, do you think Peter loved the Lord too? Did he not love him with all of his heart, all of his mind? He did, but did he make some mistakes? Lord, you can't go to the cross. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's a big letdown, right? Listen, Lord, you can't let people treat you like that. Let's call down fire from heaven. And he says, listen, you don't know what spirit you're of. And then Peter betrayed him and went out and wept bitterly. But God wasn't done with him. May I tell you something? The lie of the devil is that God's done with you. If you want to turn back to the Lord, he's waiting. In fact, the truth is he's knocking on the door of our heart, is he not? And so God is wanting really to do a good work. We get these preconceived ideas or these notions of how it's going to be or what it's going to be like. Just approach the Lord and his word and let the Word of God do its work in your heart and mind. Lord, I need you today, or I'm going to think my way. And open up the Bible on a daily basis and just seek God. And you don't have to set any kind of boundaries. In other words, okay, I have to read 2 or 3 chapters. I have to pray for an hour. What's that? Listen, open up the Word of God and say, God, show me what you want me to do. Do you know that God can lift up one verse off of the page to help you and to encourage you and to guide you? Let it work that way and stop going to the Lord. I say stop because I do that. All right, I'll come to the Lord. Okay, this is what I got to do. I can overwhelm myself before I ever even get started. And that's not what the Lord wants us to do. Secondly, listen to this. Building on the one foundation that will stand. Look at verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Is that the truth? That's the foundation. He just said it right there, right? We're not making this up. That's the foundation. Look at verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, all these things can be applied. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. God says it's going to all be revealed one day. And if we're doing what we think in our own minds and missing the Word of God, we're not going to amount to much. Here's the test. Ready? How is the Spirit of God working in your life? So that you know where you stand. How can you tell about how the Spirit of God is working in your life? What is a gauge to let you know the direction that you're walking in? Well, tell me. I'm going to ask you this question. All right, this is you can call it out loud. Ready? Tell me one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Just one. All right. Did I hear peace? Did I hear love? Did I hear kindness? All right. So listen, let's just use those three. So if peace is not in my life, then it would stand to reason that the Holy Spirit's not bearing fruit in my life in peace. If joy is not there, then the Spirit's not working, right? And if kindness, if I'm not kind to people, then, and by the way, listen, this is not something that I manufacture. This is something that the Lord, through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, produces. He produces it. So then just start right there and say, God, I am not kind, and Lord, I have no peace and I have no joy. That's a good place to start. Lord, here's what I'm doing. I am presenting my life to you. That's what it is, really. Isn't it a mess without God? I want you to know, I'm talking about myself, Brother George here, I present my mess before the Lord and say, God, fix it. I don't want to fix it because, listen, it's going to fall apart. It's not going to stand. So, Lord, I need you to do, that's a good place to start. And then, Lord, show me in your word, and you will be amazed at how the Lord will open up the scriptures to you and lift up a verse or a couple of verses and speak to you, and you'll walk away feeling this way. I didn't just read the Bible. God spoke to me. I didn't just do what the Christian duty is. I heard from God. The Lord, and you'll say, wow, that was good. Was it good the day you got saved? That was just the beginning. So if you're not experiencing more of that, and if it's not being amplified, the Lord said, that's just the beginning. That was just a seed that was planted that he wants to grow into a big mustard tree where others can come and be helped, right? And lodge there and make their homes. Man, I like being around certain brothers and sisters in the Lord because they encourage you. Why? Because they're filled with the Lord. Because God is working and you're encouraged. Listen, then there are some that all they can tell you is, nobody knows. Well, I don't want to know either. Amen. Not really. I mean, I don't mind listening and trying to help, but if it's constantly negative, there's something wrong. We are supposed to be the light, not ours. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth, not ours. It's got to be God. And so, my goodness, if that's missing, bring it before the Lord and say, oh, God, help me with this. He says, I've been waiting for you to ask. You have not because you what? You ask not. Does God know what we need before we even ask? Isn't that what it says? Why should we ask? Because God says that's how you express that you believe me. That's how I know you believe me. And not only that you believe me, but you also believe I can answer your request. That's faith. Oh, wait, let's interchange it with the word trust. We can trust the Lord that way. You can't just sit here and hear the word of God and not do something with it and expect God to do something different in your life. What's that definition of insanity again? Doing the same thing over and over the same way and expecting a difference. It's not going to happen. God says, I want to give you a life more abundant. Take God at his word. Lord, I want that abundant life. Remember the salvation and say, and understand this, that was just the beginning. That was just the beginning of all good things. All right. So he says this, verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, listen to this, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, you're secure in the Lord. But what kind of work are you putting together if it's not by the power of God and it's by your own effort? Here's how you know you're doing it in your own effort. Ready? I'm going to give you an easy answer. Wisdom applied. Ready? Here's how the believer can tell. Well, let me ask you the question. How can the believer tell that the work that he's doing or she's doing in their life is in their own strength? It's not working. That's it. It's not working. That's how to tell. If you are doing it in your own strength, that's how I know. It's not working. You ever remember, maybe I had to do it when I was a little kid. I'm talking 6, 7 years old. You get in a scrap or some argument or some fallout with a friend, and either a parent or a teacher will say, now you guys both know you were wrong, right? That's the next thing you're supposed to do. shake hands and make up, right? And you ever go like, just kind of put your hand out there and maybe not look at them and say, I'm sorry, and I don't really mean it, but we got to do this, so. And that's how we can tell, listen, we got to say, Lord, I'm sorry. If I'm genuinely not doing this the right way, I genuinely want to bring it to you so that you can fix it. I don't want to keep going on no joy. I don't want to keep going without the fruit of peace. I don't want to keep going without the fruit of the kindness of God in my life. I want you to produce that in my life. All right? So verse 15, he says, listen, the work is going to be revealed one day on what kind that it was. But Paul is telling us this so that we can say, hey, listen, I don't want the rubbish. I want the good materials. Because the good materials come from who? God. If we're manufacturing the materials, it's gonna be that cheap house that we built. It's going to be worthless. And it won't stand, really, the pressures of life. It won't stand against the storms of... It's going to be on a bad foundation. All right, last thought. Ready? Ye are the temple of God. Look at verse 16. Why we are the temple of God. Why are you the temple of God if you're here and you're a child of God? Notice this. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God, what? Dwelleth in you. That's why you're the temple of God. You're not the temple of God, believe it or not, because you're so wonderful. You're not the temple of God because you're just a great person. You're the temple of God because the truth is there's nothing good in us. And everything that's good comes from the Lord. And you've been indwelt by the Spirit of God. I didn't make that up. He says, know ye not, verse 16, that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Do you know that you have access to the power of God in your life? I'm not making this up. Why did God give you the power of God in your life? So that he can shine forth. God could never shine forth just because we love him. By the way, listen, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and all we can do is hinder God. Did Peter hinder the working of God in his life when he leaned to his own understanding every time? And so will we. Approach God. Listen, do you know that God works with us differently? I don't treat all of my kids the same way. Some are a little bit more obstinate. Some are easily a little bit more pliable. And so I deal with them according to how they receive these things. Do you know that God also deals with us differently? All on the positive side now, not just for chastening, but for blessing. God wants to give us all those things that we need that will, listen, honor and glorify him. And everything that honors and glorifies the Lord will be an overwhelming blessing in our lives. God was honored by those two disciples on the road to Emmaus to reveal himself. And when God revealed his person to them, were they blessed? Did they get excited? Absolutely. May I tell you something? Listen, and don't misunderstand me. Hear me clearly on this. More than anything I can ever teach you is what the Lord will reveal to you personally. I'm just flesh and blood. Listen, if God does not bless, and the way to receive what God reveals to us is to be asking God for it. I don't know how many, and I'm not patting myself on the back, but I think we make, and don't get me wrong, there's a place for the preacher, and there's a definite place, and by all means, we're not taking away from the importance of assembling ourselves together in the Lord's church, because that's his body. But by the same token, I don't want you to think that you've got to come to me. It's the Spirit of God in you that will open up these things. And you carry him with you everywhere you go. I get to share with you what God has revealed to me and blessed me with and got me excited about it, because everything that God reveals to me that I get excited about shows me and teaches me that it's him, not me. I love to hear it's God, not me. I love to experience the Lord doing things and not me. You know why? Because nobody can do it like the Lord. And man, oh man, is it amazing. Isn't it? It is amazing. God doesn't just want to amaze you for 1 hour on Sunday morning. He really doesn't. That is not going to carry you through the week. It ought to whet your appetite to hunger and thirst more for the things of God, in the Word of God, that I might search the Scriptures and even, listen, I will challenge you to go back through chapter 3 and say, God, speak to me. Lord, reveal. And by the way, don't get locked into my outline. That's just a man-made, I believe God gave it to me to share with you, but there's so much more in this chapter that God will lift up in light of what so you've got a little bit of an idea from the message today, what I'm looking at in chapter 3, but let God take it where he wants to in your life, for your life, specifically, personally, from the Lord. And he will show you things that I didn't even preach on. More, and by the way, you can go back to it, and I promise you, he'll show you more stuff that you didn't even read before, if you'll seek him out. So it's not locked up to the pulpit. It dwells within us. Amen? By the Spirit of God. Okay, so watch this. We are the temple of God. And then the next thing, verses 17 through 20, God wants us to know that we don't need to be careful about the things of the world, but we need to be careful not to defile the temple of God. So notice what he says here in verse 17. He says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. He's pretty serious about defiling the temple of God, by the way, which you are because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So be careful with the Holy Spirit. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I mean, can he drive that point home any more than he has? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Let no man deceive himself, and this is important as we consider this. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. In other words, let me set those things aside to hear more about the Word of God and the wisdom of God. And by the way, remember, the wisdom of God is the biblical truth applied in our lives, not just heard. So he says in verse 19, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And by the way, listen, the child of God can get caught up in their own craftiness and God deal with them. And it's not a threat. It's not a threat. God, listen, God's not saying, okay, just mess up and I'm just going to take you home. No, listen, he's trying to get us to understand the best life, hear me clearly, that you and I can enjoy is fellowship with God. Then you know what you're going to do? If you have fellowship with the Lord, you're going to be exactly what your family needs to seek out God. If we have fellowship with the Lord, not only are you going to be what is needed in your family, but you're going to be what is needed in the Lord's church to encourage other fellow believers in the body of Christ. Not only that, but you're going to be exactly what the Lord wants to encourage even the preacher. Do you think the preacher needs encouraged? Absolutely, the preacher needs encouraged. I'm flesh and blood. I've got trials and difficulties in my life as well. But God is the one that takes us really above those things and beyond those things by his grace and glory. All right, verse 20. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain, those who are wise in their own understanding. And then lastly, he says, all things are yours. He's trying to drive this point. You are the temple of God. There has been a foundation laid and begun in you of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful that you continue to use the biblical tools and the biblical materials to continue building things that are precious to you. So here it is. I've got to bring it back to this. Do you think those disciples, as the Lord... Listen, he called them, he said, listen, are you guys ignorant? That's what he said to them. The Lord can do that, all right? I can't do that, but the Lord said, do you not understand the Scriptures? And he began to open them. And you remember what they said looking back? They said, boy, as we were walking with the Lord, when he was opening up the Scriptures, did not our hearts burn within us? Do you believe that really happened? Absolutely it did. And do you think they regretted any of that burning heart for the Lord? God wants to bring us to the place to where the Word of God does that kind of a work where we can't get enough of it. Our hearts pound and we enjoy being in the presence of God. That's just not something that happened one time. It's something that God wants us to have. We're indwelt with the Spirit. Can we experience the presence of God? Yes, because we are indwelt with the Spirit. All right, so watch this. Last three verses, verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. God says, I've not even withheld my son. I gave him to you. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Now watch how he qualifies this. What he means by this. All are yours. Watch this. And ye are who? Wow. Everything is mine. Why? Because you belong to the Lord. And Christ belongs to God. What will he withhold from us? But if we ask not, we have not. This is what God would encourage us to do today. Ready? If you are not really excited, if you can get, listen to me, and I don't have anything against sports unless they're played on Sunday, then I have a problem. I have a problem with Christian athletes. But I got my fame and I got this, and I understand. I understand. But I think God comes first. If you can go to, man, this, I don't even know if this is politically correct. Now I got your attention, don't I? I don't even know if this is politically correct anymore. If you can go to a football game, and please hear me. I mean this with all sincerity and kindness. And act like a wild Indian warrior, Comanche, right? At a football game, and come to church and act like a wooden Indian, something's wrong. When we can get more excited about the things of the world than the things of God. Now, I want to tell you something. I can't fix it for you, but God can. God can make you like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus if you'll just use the faith that God has given to you. You're indwelt with the Holy Spirit to approach the Lord and say, Lord, I want to see you do your work in me. Show me what the difference is. You listen, God, I want to prove you. You said you'll give me your joy that the world doesn't have and that I don't have. You're going to give me your peace and the fruits of the Spirit that I cannot produce. I'm going to challenge you on that. Do something with the faith that God has given to you. Approach, that's what doing something with the faith of God. If you don't call upon the Lord, then this message has done nothing. If you don't say, Lord, I'm coming to you, I'm going to ask you to do something. And by the way, just ask him to do one thing, if you will. Just one. Just show me one. Do you think God, Lord, tell me what I need to do. I'm asking you. And you know the first two things. Pray, ask, because if you don't ask, you don't receive. And then use the faith that you have and read the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Those are the two things. Just do those two things and say, God, now show me. But if you walk out of here and not apply those things, then we're not going to see the work of God, because those are simple things. It's still him doing it, but you're calling on him and asking him. Now, to those that might be in here, and I don't know, I believe everybody has a profession of salvation, but I don't know that, but you do, you know whether or not you've received eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is not a prayer. Prayer can be involved in that, but eternal life is this: realizing, not that I'm a bad person, realizing that my sin has condemned me already. I was born. Even if I turn over a new leaf and try to be a good person, the Bible says that our righteousness are as filthy rags. Even as a saved child of God, we can't give God our righteousness, but he gives us his. That's the difference. That's where the difference is at. So we cannot give God anything, and until we admit, Lord, then we have no need for him. There's no salvation. I've done that. I said a prayer before. Lord, forgive me for my sins. I know. But I didn't really think I was as bad as the other people that were in prison. I never killed anybody, right? I'm not a thief. Not that I've never stolen something as a kid. I took something that didn't belong to me. I bet maybe you have too, possibly. And here's the whole thing. I've lied and all those things. But finally, I saw my own wickedness. Not that I'm not as bad as anybody else. God opened up my eyes, God did, and allowed me to see my own wickedness. And ready? I'm driving down US 1, and here was my prayer. Save me, Jesus. I don't even know. Listen, to be quite honest with you, I was so overwhelmed with the guilt of my sin, I cannot tell you if I said it or just thought it. Do you know the Lord stepped in and allowed me, I don't know how to explain it to you, I didn't see or hear anything, but I will tell you this, he allowed me to understand that all of my sins were washed away by the blood of the Lamb. You can do anything you want to me, I cannot erase that from my memory. And God will never forsake us nor leave us. You might could torture me and maybe try to get me to recant, but I will never forget what Jesus did for me, May 8th, 1987. I will never forget it. And I want you to know it is personal and it varies from person to person, but I want you to know, and you know if you're saved, you'll never forget it. You'll never forget it. And if that's not you, it's because God didn't open up your understanding and your eyes, and you're playing religion, and you don't have the assurance. I promise you, you don't. You wonder at different times, am I going to go to heaven? I don't have to ever worry about it. Do you know that God loves His own more than we love our own children? Do you believe that? Do you know? For as long as I live, my kids don't have to knock on the door to come into the house. I mean, even if some of them get married or something and move away, they don't have to knock on my door. They can have a key to my house and just walk in. Why? Because they're my kids. And that will never change. They can do whatever. They're my kids. And God loves us more than we love our own. And so I say, you might could do something to me that might get me to deny my Savior like Peter did. Did God ever throw Peter away? Never. Peter denied him, but God never rejected him. And I know that. And you know it too if you're saved. But if you're here and you're not saved, you don't know that. Because it's not a prayer, it's God intervening on our behalf. And I'm not trying to frighten you. But I do want you to know it's an experience that you have to be able to go back to. How does that happen? It takes the Holy Spirit, the work of God. I didn't understand it all. But God showed me my guilt before Him, not before man. And I thought, I am worthy of death. Oh God, save me. I'm telling you, I don't even remember how I said it. If I spoke it out loud or in my mind, and God came in and redeemed me and changed my path. Am I perfect? No. But oh boy, what a difference He's made and is making. And that's, I guess, for the child of God, is what He's wanting to do. He's wanting to continue to make the difference in your life, not just on Sunday, but every day. He's wanting to encourage us and draw us to walk with Him. And by the way, to follow Him. To the lost, He's wanting them to understand their need. And then they might say, oh God, it's me. I'm going to stop wrestling with my ideas and what I think. And it's a work of God. I can't. Don't rededicate or recommit your life if you're not saved. It's salvation that we need first. And then the rest is just a walk with the Lord by His grace. Would you stand? All things are ours to the believer. God intends all things, all the good things, to be for all of us because He's not willing that any should perish. If we perish, it's our own choice. because the invitation is the Lord's. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the understanding that it brings to our hearts and to our minds. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts as only you can, first to your children. Lord, what you've given, the price that you paid for what's been given to us, are we neglecting that treasure in the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation that you purchased and have given to us, and the Spirit, Lord, that indwells us? Have we neglected him? And if so, Lord, may you speak to us and may you turn our hearts back toward you, that you might be honored and glorified and that we might be amazed by your grace. And then, Lord, if there's one or maybe more than one that does not have the assurance of salvation, Lord, there's nothing I can do, but you can do everything. Open up their understanding, their heart and their minds, that they might trust you even today. Bless and we'll thank you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.